continue this morning with the questions that have come from members of this congregation. And the question this morning is, how can a believing spouse share faith with a non-believing spouse? How can I help him or her to come to faith and not turn them away? Now, this is a great question, and in fact, the person who asked it must have a soul-deep love for their spouse. And they must have a firm belief in the power of God to bless a life when we invite Jesus into that life. And you know, what I have to say today doesn't have to do only with how we share our faith with a spouse, but it can apply equally to how we share our faith with children that we are praying will come to faith, with friends, with co-workers, with anyone with whom we want to share our faith. But actually, it would be easier to share our faith with our spouse because the relationship is deeper. In our day, most people come to know Jesus not through some evangelistic campaign or something they hear on television. Most people come to know Jesus by a relationship with someone who is a follower of Jesus. The most fruitful place for any of us to share our faith is to share it with someone who we know and who knows us. There's a lot of mistrust in our day in organized religion. Almost everyone has heard the news reports about clergy abuse of children. They've heard about misuse of funds by charitable organizations, and the younger generations particularly mistrust institutions. But people are willing to be in conversation with someone they know and someone they trust, and someone who they perceive is trying their best, maybe without complete success, but trying their best to live what they believe. So I would answer this question of how to share our faith with our spouse or with other people who we particularly love and care for with three words. And those words are passion, prayer, and persistence. First and most importantly, the believer that wants to share their faith must have a passionate relationship themselves with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the scripture verse that we just heard a few moments ago, "Abide in me as I abide in you." Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. The foundation of any attempt to share our faith is a strong and growing relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, "Abide in me as I abide in you." In other words, Jesus was saying, "Stay connected to me." And the most fruitful ways to stay connected with Jesus are to be in daily prayer. Have some time every day for prayer. Have some time every day that you open the scripture and read and spend just a little time with God. And then beyond that, carve out some time to be with God's people, just as you are doing here. Find some time to be in conversation with God's people, maybe through a small group, where you can be with other people who are struggling with the faith and maybe learn from them how they have been able to share their faith. The most important foundation for sharing our faith is a passion for Jesus, living in him and allowing him to live in us. Rich Richardson wrote a book called Reimagining Evangelism, and if you really want to get deeper into this subject, that is a great book. It is by Rich Richardson, and it's called Reimagining Evangelism. And he writes, "Our authority as witnesses emerges out of our union with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Whenever you speak about Christ with another, you do not stand alone. God is with you in front and behind, before and after." When we live in Jesus and He is in us, we are not alone in our love for that other person. He is also present in that person's life, loving them. We are not alone in our desire to have them connect with Jesus. Jesus also wants to connect with them. We are not alone in figuring out how to share our faith, because God is already at work in that other person's life, even though they might not know it, even though if you would tell them it, they would probably not admit it, and in fact, they would argue with you about it. So first, a passion for Jesus and a passion for Jesus' love. We need to, and then second, the second key to sharing our faith is prayer. We need to pray for that person. We need to pray that God be at work in that person's life. We need to pray that God would open up the opportunity for us to speak with them and share our faith. And then we need to pray that we would catch it when the opportunity opens up, because sometimes, at least I'm not always aware. And so we need to pray for the opening of the opportunity and for us to know when it comes. I've been reading a book on prayer by Mark Batterson called The Circle Maker. And he reminds us in that book that we need to be specific and to pray for exactly what we want. He says, pray that God would touch that other person. Pray that if it can't be you and they're not going to ever listen to you, that God would send somebody else to witness to them and to share the faith with them. Pray daily for that person, or even more often whenever it comes into your mind. Prayer. Pray. And hold on to Jesus' promise when he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. If we live in Jesus and he lives in us, then our prayers are going to be also what he wants, because we've given our life to him. And he will honor those prayers that we are praying. And when our prayer is answered, then we'll have a chance to honor him. He said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and be my disciples. And so when we bear the fruit and when it happens, then we need to glorify him and we need to say, it was he who answered that prayer for us. We also need to pray. The other part of that question was to know when to speak with that person and not turn them off. Well, again, Rick Richardson in Reimagining Evangelism gives us some clues about how we can know if it's time to speak, or how if we can know if it's time to just zip it and not say anything. He says, first, know that God is at work always and everywhere. In other words, the Holy Spirit is loose in this world, working in the lives of believers and non-believers. So we need to look for where the Holy Spirit is at work in that person's life. And then we need to ask for guidance when it's time to speak. Secondly, he says, and in other words, know that God is at work already in that person's life. Secondly, he suggests, don't make grand pronouncements, but ask questions so that you can start a conversation. If you notice that God might be working in that person's life, or if they mention God or Jesus or something on the subject, you pray for guidance, God, what am I to say? And then you ask a question. You might ask, what are you feeling inside right now? Or have you ever had a feeling that you're really close to God, or that God was really close to you? And then he says, let the answer to that conversation guide, or that the answer to that question guide your conversation. Thirdly, he says, when the opportunity comes for conversation about things of the Spirit, don't act superior, like you know it all. He writes, did you ever think that the greatest gift you could give to your seeking and skeptical friends is the story of your spiritual struggles and doubts? Your authority, in part, comes from your authenticity. the authenticity of your struggles and your flawed humanity. In other words, they need to say that you don't have all the answers either. You have some questions, and it's okay to be seeking God and still have some questions. Just humbly share your struggles, where God is leading you, and maybe even some of the things that you don't yet understand. So he says, if you're wanting to share your faith, know that God is at work, pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, don't make pronouncements, ask questions, don't act superior. And then finally, the fourth thing that he says is invite your spouse or that person that you're praying for to something that the church is doing. In our day, most people come to faith through the Christian community. Most people belong before they believe. Think about that. It doesn't work so well to argue with somebody or to try to convince them of something. Rather, if you bring them to something that the church is doing, they might be drawn into that sense of love and caring that we have among one another. They might be drawn to ask themselves, and then maybe later you, what's different about this group? Why is this group different from other groups that I've been in? So Richardson suggests that we invite people to things like neighborhood fun night, like the dinner theater, like our talent show, like one of our community service days, or invite them to come along with you and help with Family Promise. Let them be among God's people and get comfortable being with the people of God. The question that was asked for this morning is, how can a believing spouse share faith with a non-believing spouse? How can I help him or her to come to faith and not turn them away? Well, the answer is keep your passion for Jesus and for living in him strong. Keep praying by name and specifically for that person. And finally, be persistent. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. In other words, don't give up. Don't ever give up, because you don't know when you might be just one prayer away from your prayer being answered. Now, I know that's not easy. I know it gets frustrating and discouraging. At least it does for me. I have three people in my life who are my special prayer concern. Three people who my heart just goes out to, and I really want them to know Jesus and to find faith in their lives. Well, back in November, I got really frustrated with one of those people. And I said to myself, okay, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to have to let somebody else pray for that person because it's not working, and I'm just going to give up. Well, the next morning in my prayer time, God said to me, and it was almost like a voice, don't you think I am able? Don't you think I'm already at work in that person's life? Yeah, okay. So, that word from God gave me hope. And I said to myself, I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to give up on that person, even if it takes a lifetime. And you know what? 2 weeks ago, God gave me the opportunity to have an hour and 15 minute conversation with that person about the faith. I was trying to think this morning how that conversation got started, and I don't even know how it got started. But I remember when I knew I was in it, desperately praying, God, help me not to say something dumb, you know, just to keep this conversation going. So God answers prayers. Keep on praying. How can a believing spouse or parent or child or friend share faith with a non-believing spouse? How can we help them to come to faith without turning them away? Well, I would sum up the answer in three words: passion, prayer, and persistence. Let us pray. God, I give you thanks that you are at work even in the lives of those who don't know you and don't care to know you. I thank you, Lord, that sometimes you give us the privilege of being used in your work. And so now I take a moment for each of us here today to mention by name those persons in our life for whom you have placed a concern on our hearts. Lord our God, keep our passion strong. Keep us always in prayer. And help us not to be discouraged, but to be persistent in our prayer and in looking for opportunities to share our faith with others in the name of Jesus. Amen.